One of the toughest things to go through is to be in high school, have this wantingness to play college football, but then lacking the playing time or the film to actually do it. And so I'm going to talk about some things you can do to improve your chances of playing varsity in high school to impress the coaches so that way you can get more film and achieve that goal of playing college football. And so if you don't know who I am, I'm Chandler, I'm a former college quarterback. I also played at the NA and the JUCO level. I now run your first scholarship where we help families get their first scholarship and more. And so I have a good ability to kind of know on this topic of getting playing time in high school. Because quick background on myself, I seventh essentially you play football at a very early age through the schools. High school wise, I started as a freshman, started on JV my sophomore year. That sophomore year, I actually had a kid that was also a sophomore that was a starting varsity quarterback. So I am essentially the backup for my year. I mean, it's pretty much set in stone at this point. Or at least it felt like it to me a little bit. And despite that, I overcame a lot of odds. I pushed him a little bit more my junior year. Still didn't get the starting spot until about, it's probably game 7 or 8 where I actually got my first start. Might even been 9. I think it was the first start that I got. He ended up transferring schools before our first playoff game. And then I was the senior, the starter my senior year. Even though my senior year, I still got benched a few times. And so this is just to comment on how I went about that process to push that guy. How I believe like a lot of younger kids have misconceptions about why they're not playing. And just how to not get caught up in that and how to actually do things that will improve your chances of starting. And now, the first thing I should go into is you are at the whims of one person. Ultimately, your head coach is going to make probably all the decisions to start and not start people. So you have to realize that everybody has biases, everybody has impressions on people or thinks things of certain people, and you can't necessarily control what they do. I mean, I think is. Again, I'm not going to go into it too much, but like my senior year situation, I had 10 total touchdowns and one interception after 4 games of playing. We were 4-0, which was like the best record that we'd ever had in probably like a couple years because we went like 2-9 and 2-8 the past 2 years. This was a brand new head coach too, and the offense coordinator ended up pulling me aside and said, "Hey, we don't think you're playing well enough." And so to hear that when I had those kind of stats, I was throwing a 68% completion percentage. I think I definitely was not playing bad. But again, that's what they thought. So there wasn't really much I could do about it. And I was definitely pissed. I will not lie about that. I was not happy. And then end up getting benched the next game still. So it is what it is. But I couldn't do much in that situation. And so you have to, I think it's the number one thing you have to realize is like, you can't control what people are going to think about you or what is going to happen, whether they're going to bench or start you. It's not in your control. You can only, I just talked about this in the last video that I just did a second ago, you can only control the controllables. And so the biggest thing, the number one takeaway is like, don't get too caught up in what they're thinking. You can do that to an extent, but like, realize that you're at the whim of one person. Like there's not a whole lot you can do. And so it is what it is to an extent. And you have to just deal with the circumstances and try to find ways no matter what. Though the biggest things I will say, and this is just from my perspective, that will allow you to start or increase your chances of starting. First off, you just have to hit the minimums as far as like, you have to do the bare minimum stuff. You have to be attentive to detail. In high school, like, the bar is relatively low in high school, unless you go to the top high school. Like, if you pay attention, if you're running all your routes right, if you're running the plays correctly, if you're doing all that stuff right, which you're never going to be perfect, but if you're continuing to learn and you're continuing to pick up stuff, coaches pay attention to that because there's not a lot of cool kids that do. Secondly, hard work. You got to put in the effort. That means every single thing you do, you have to do 100%. You have to look back at each day and say, "Hey, did I do everything I could 100%?" If you didn't, then you can't really blame yourself for not starting because the coaches may see that 1% that you're missing and go, "Is he going to give the 1% when we need it the most during game time?" And you may say like, "Oh, person A, B, and C also don't have that, but you never know what when they were looking at you versus when they were looking at them. They're not omniscient. Like, they can't see everything. So you can't hold them to that super high expectation as well. So why don't you just be 100%? That way, whenever they're looking, they always know that you're putting in that effort. And so those two things will really, like, focus and effort. If a coach sees a guy that's super focused and putting in 100%, like, if you're 100% focused and 100% effort, first off, imagine how amazing of a football player you would be. I mean, just, I'm just even internally looking at that, like, man, if I was 100% focused on 100% effort when I played my career, I mean, who knows how good of a player I would have been. Probably would have been way better, for sure. I can't say that I was 100% focused, 100% effort all the time. Definitely strive to be, but I wish I was. And that goes for the same for you. You've got time. So biggest thing, if you can do that, you'll be a better player, and you'll also have a much better chance of starting, because people will pick up on that. They'll see that, and they'll take you seriously because of it. After that, you have to realize, like, how big things like impressions are. I think that's one of the craziest things about my story, and I look back at it very gratefully, is, like, I was not deemed the guy for the sophomore class. Like, I was just never set to be the starter. And I broke that expectation because I essentially just sought out to do it. I was like, I have to do this. I have to go all into this. And I did. I switched from, essentially went from baseball focused to football focused. Put a ton of time into football, and was able to really come out of my sophomore year into that junior year just a completely different player as a quarterback. Started to hit a lot of my stride. And so you have to, like, recognize where you are. Again, this is me talking from a perspective of, like, I was behind that kind of expectation of what they were looking for, and I had to break that mold. And so you have to realize, if you're in that spot, if you're not a starter right now, and it's because they don't see you as the kind of guy that's worth being a starter at the moment, it's because they're seeing that you're missing something, or that you're just behind where they're expecting you to be. And that deficit is rather large. Like, they may even say it's close, but you have to do more than what they're expecting, essentially, to break that mold, to break their beliefs. And you can't rely on them to do so. You just have to put in crazy amount of action, crazy amount of results to just show them that you're the guy. You're the guy that they should be starting. You have to do everything right in practice. You have to just be so impressive, because one day is enough. One week isn't enough. It's multiple weeks. It's stacking results on top of results until it's like, holy crap, this Trenton kid is just, he can play. Like, we've been seeing it now for weeks. Like, let's give him a chance. And then, boom, you're ready. You take advantage of that opportunity. I really just believe, and part of the things that I think really help with that is, like, act every day like you are the starter. Like, don't pretend you're the backup. Act like you're the starter, prepare like you're the starter, but still have that chip on your shoulder of that you're not. And so that will help you out a ton. And so that's more pertaining to that particular situation where you're not the starter, you're the backup maybe on varsity, you're the, you know, backup on JV, or you're kind of set to be the backup in the future. If you have the awareness to realize that, then that's kind of your playbook. Now, if you're more younger, or your son's younger, you're just like, shoot, he's not even on varsity, he's not on JV, he's a freshman, he's eighth grade, whatever. What can he do to get on that fast track? First off, just being big is the, your growth is obviously big impact to that. So it's DNA, can't really control too much of that. Second thing is big impressions. It seems, and I can't distill this down, I mean, because I'm just kind of, this is just a thought that popped in my head, is like, it seems that people are often along the lines of a track to get to that point. Like, going through my own high school, there was very much certain kids that seemed very much on the track to, for me, like, for us, the big milestone was, like, if you were a sophomore on varsity, then you're pretty good. If you're starting on varsity as a sophomore, like, you're a stud. For other schools, it's like, if you're starting freshman as a on varsity as a freshman, like, then you're a stud. And so it just kind of varies depending on that. And so, like, you can put yourself on the fast track by being an excellent kid, seventh and eighth grade year, but that's not always going to translate. Like, those guys that were sophomores starting on varsity, I think one of them ended up playing at a 4-year. Again, our high school wasn't super good, so it kind of makes sense, but that doesn't always translate to, you're going to play at the next level. It does give you a leg up. And so I think it is important to take a look at that and see how you can do that. And I think the biggest thing is, like, again, measurables is going to be a big point. If you happen to be a freshman, a sophomore that is 6'4", like, awesome, man. Like, you're probably going to be a pretty good position. But also it's just big in early development. If you can, the more polished you are, the earlier, like, the more apt you are to be that. I can honestly say, like, if I started on varsity as a sophomore or freshman, I wouldn't have been good enough. Like, I just wasn't there talent wise. I wasn't there mental wise. Would have been borderline embarrassing. So, my timeline was fine, and I think that's a perfectly fine timeline to follow if you're gonna start on varsity as a junior. But most of the time, it comes down to impressions. It's like, what does a coach think of you? Do they think of you as someone that is going to be a guy for them? And how do you do that? Again, it comes down to results. It comes down to showing them every single day you can of that you're just an absolute beast. Showing your strengths to the fullest, showing that you have a lack of weaknesses, showing that you're willing to put in the work and that you pay attention, you can handle the load of being on varsity. All that stuff is super important. And so that is really some stuff that you can do to set yourself up and be a varsity guy. Again, it's most of the time just out of control. So you can't focus on it a ton, but if you can do that stuff, I believe you put yourself in a really good position, and that's really the best you can ask for at that kind of point. I won't talk on transferring high schools or what should you do on that. Maybe I'll record that in a different video, but for now, I'll leave it at that. Appreciate the time. If you like this, if you got something from it, be sure to like and subscribe. See you in the next one. Peace.